Yes.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Woo! Okay, so we are rocking our way through, you know, a metaphysical. It's really a teaching demand of A Course in Miracles. If you don't get this, it's really going to be hard to love the work. We're talking about guilt here. I've never seen any other teaching program or spiritual path that taught freedom from guilt in this way, as the beginning point. And this would be the capstone under which the ego's arc would just fall, where you just pull this one thing out. Wow, that's pretty specific. But before you pull that out, realize that the you that would go to grab and pull that out would be lost, the one that you know and trust to keep you happy and safe would be lost. No fears. It's been holding you back from joy. The one you would lose. The one you would lose has been holding you back from joy, from simplicity, creativity, and from actually being love. This is the one that would hold you back. So do not fear the loss of this one. But do know this. What we're talking about is challenging. In order to let go of guilt at the depth that we're describing, it's letting go of what is holding you together. And here, in a body or bodies, if you choose to do serial bodyhood, this
applying,
is
applying karma.
Yeah, applying karma and then owing karma and creating karma and having a karma debt to pay off. If that's you, but it's not. It's true. But to you that would be talking, reading the book, and talking to me, and come into A Course in Miracles is on one side of the chasm. And the you that would laugh about it with me is on the other side of the chasm. And A Course in Miracles is providing a bridge. We walk across it all the time here. We even, on the other side, we have great moments of freedom that we think this is it forever. We've done this in this room many times. And other times, we're back on the other side saying, look, you're looking at the bridge, but you've tied your shoelaces together and you tied them to the dark side of the chasm. It's really easy to walk across the bridge. There's nothing easier and nothing simpler. But for this foundation of guilt that holds you together as you know you. So, all of us will teach ourselves to be free from guilt. We spent a month trying to poke and prod at it. We will continue. I'll move us on because the book will teach us. But there is a wonderful, wonderful freedom from a very fundamental burden you carry. You don't even know it's carrying it. We used to talk about rocks in a backpack, and the backpack's so comfortable. And, you know, here I go. I'm hiking along because it's my backpack. Thank you very much. And it has my things in it. I'm good. I'm just going to keep it. But if you knew there were rocks in it, it would be such an easier burden. Since the rocks are useless, they're just weighing you down. Fear is that way. Worrying is like a rock that you would just carry. Nobody else can carry it but you, and you carry it in your backpack, and it's heavy. Makes your life heavy. Guilt is one of these rocks at the bottom.
It's a big rock.
It's a big one. It seems so real and justified.
And it gives birth to more pebbles.
It has all sorts of progeny. Yes, it does. Just like that. Course in Miracles says that is the parent that allows you to not love and think you're doing the right thing. That's how important this topic is.
You're talking about the original, like the original guilt, way back.
Well, yes, yes. However, it since we don't remember the original whole idea, we don't have to go back and undo anything in the past. We do have to undo this keystone that holds us in bodies now. You can go into the past and unload some of the burdens by working it through. Course in Miracles is that's not a Course in Miracles approach. You can have spiritual experiences that are wonderful, or drug experiences that are wonderful, but they are not an awakening. You can have spiritual experiences.
It's just a temporary suspension of that guilt.
Yes. A denying of it, even. That's nice. It's nice.
It's freeing.
It's freeing. It feels good. And it might be really useful, too. So you can know where you're really going. Even though you go back and collect all your fears and everything else the next day, you can say, but I want that which I had. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Like going back to your authentic self before.
Yeah, touching your authentic self.
Yeah.
You it's so grounding. Course in Miracles is that. Release from ego, release from the bondage, and the chain at the bottom of them all is called guilt. I've told you this before, it took me years to be able to understand and then admit. First I would say, I don't feel that guilty about stuff. I'll just let everything go. Forgive everybody. It's just, you know, let's be happy and loving and go forward now with love. But, like all things in A Course in Miracles, it's not talking about your body. And the things your body can be guilty of. The experience can be undoing something your body did. It's very nice. Or the experience can be reading a beautiful passage in this book and saying there's hope. That's very nice. The awakening comes with what the book calls a miracle. Miracle is a shift in perception. And that shift now discredits what you thought before. So much, personally, for you, discredited your fear, your hate, your loneliness, your anger,
or your guilt.
Discredited so much that you can no longer go to the depths of suffering or pain that it brought. You can't, because it's no longer true. It's less real. And the burden is lighter because a rock has been taken out of the pack that you personally have been carrying. And you've taken yet another step toward enlightenment. Now you know you've actually had an awakening. Lots of spiritual experiences, you end up back in the same space you were. But with an awakening, you've taken a step up on the ladder that we've talked about so many times. So, that's what we're dealing with. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to expect and anticipate and know this is the path you're on. If you're studying A Course in Miracles, some of these passages that trip you up are the passages that your ego is rejecting. And like we dig in here, we turn them, we splay them open, unzip them. and you find that there's love right in what you thought was only hateable. Power of the guilt is removed when you find its opposite exactly where you were looking. And you found guilt, we find its exact opposite. Now you know you're free. That's what a miracle does. Shift in perception of that darkness to light, right where the dark, as the darkness appeared. So we're not denying it. Okay? So, we have, we will continue to dig in that direction. I just want to celebrate with you a bit. I also want to drop one more piece on you. And that's this.
That's what?
The guilt we're talking about is a fundamental belief that you have and have to have to maintain a body and care about it and feel the spike of fear when something could be lost. And it is this, that there is something that acts on something, wait for it, else. Now I've gone and said it.
Say it one more time.
I hope so. Somebody was listening. The guy at the worst hearing was listening.
That explained a whole lot.
Did it? This would unwind the necessary stress of being in a body, being separate, would be for you to look directly at this idea that there is something that affects something, wait for it, else. Isn't that what guilt is? Don't you have guilt where something affects something else? And then something else is like, oh, hurt. Which one's guilty? Right? Something attacked the other one.
It's transactional.
You did a transaction that took from me. You're guilty.
It must be equalized.
So it's only fair that I get the cop over here to come take something from you, or at least that you would apologize to me. Admit that you hurt me. Do you see how fast we need a bunch of the other cousins, the progeny of guilt, in order for us to... But this is what the world is built on. Well, you also need more than one. You need a victimizer and a victim to realize guilt. Do you see how fundamental this is? And how it holds together just the foundation of living as a body. Being everything you know. You gotta have this guilt thing working. That something affects something else. What if that wasn't true? And your level of consciousness, or your level of spiritual advancement or courage will allow you to change any of the words in that sentence, and it will to undo it. And it will allow an advancement to occur that would bring you back to unity. Something exists that can affect something else.
I'm not sure how to ask this, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
So is there any way of finding out what the two somethings are? Which is what I like to do in my work.
Yes.
Besides digging for them? Besides going in and starting exploring them?
Yeah.
I have found, for instance, once when we were doing something or other, 15 or something. that when I started off, I was thinking of a situation, and I started off with, I can't remember which of the pebbles or rocks, and I got all the way back to the place where, oh, the original one was guilt. Mm-hmm. And I knew what I was feeling guilty about, mm-hmm. and I knew what the guilt was affecting.
Uh-huh.
Where do I go from there?
Let go of anything that's happening in the past.
Okay.
Now that means names, places, events, people.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of things that you would describe in your story. Because you only exist now. Whatever you think happened in the past, or whatever you think has made you, you still only exist right now.
Right.
So that would be a very good starting point. And much of what the workbook will have you do is shows you a way to get present and get away from your stinking thinking, the ego thinking. Then it would be very handy, once you were able to let go of the past, it would be very handy to have a guide that you trusted to be able to show you the obviousness of the two things. The thing and the thing being affected that you seek. Show me. I do not know. Part of being present includes the I do not know. I don't know anything. And yet I am. Maybe now I can listen. And then your guide, A Course in Miracles, and I think just about any page, will have this contrast bubbling for you to harvest, for you to drink. Because there is a duality, and A Course in Miracles is aiming at non-dualism. In other words, complete release of something else. But it teaches it not from the holy perfect side. Who needs that when you're in heaven? No. Teaches it from the holy imperfect side, the ego.
That's what I thought. So it doesn't feel like it comes. What comes when I have made some discoveries about things,
yes,
is a sense of peace.
Uh-huh, good.
So that's what comes when there's an emptiness in,
yes,
what I've discovered.
Yes.
But it doesn't help me discover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I love this book so much, and I've made so much work in advances with it, because having terminology we can agree on. That's all ego, right? Words and pages and books. But it allows us to circle. It allows the guide to come in and speak. I am, Course in Miracles author, meet over this commonality, a set of words, descriptions, miracle principles, specific lessons, specific experiences with the lessons that are carved, tailored for me day by day, even with what to say, which, by the way, I think if you do the lessons, is because somewhere it touched your heart, went beyond your mind. I'm willing to go along. I mean, I feel it. Now, after reading the text and doing something, I accept the guide. Now I have a guide. When I can go still, I have a guide who will take me and show me gracefully, meeting me here on the dark side, the separate side, where I exist as an ego most of the time. I mean, most of the time, dealing with just playing an ego, dealing an ego. And thank goodness, a light of peace has shined across my entire existence with A Course in Miracles now. That I no longer suffer. I could still recognize pain of all sorts of types, but the suffering it's lost its bottom. You know, it used to be, how deep, how bad can this get? Whew, no, how good can this get? And so from my ego existence, I have followed this material, but it's taken me a while and to let go of all of my ideas that I knew. And let the book say, here, learn this word this way. Learn when I say forgiveness what I mean. When I say miracle, learn what I mean so that you can follow me. And some of the terms of the guilt, he says, get this. He says, this would make you reject me if I said it any clearer. They put me on a cross. They really didn't like what they heard.
I'm just not getting the guilt piece. There's something, I don't know.
Yes. I know. Because I'm attacking the very essence of what wants to get the guilt piece. What does very essence mean? What, did you look up metaphysics? You looked that up? You promised me you're going to look it up.
I did.
You didn't promise me, but you mentioned you might.
I lied.
Yeah. This guilt thing is so essential. What does essential mean?
Necessary
for the ego to exist. It's hard to get the guilt aspect of A Course in Miracles because the thing that wants to get it is held together by guilt. You want to be guilty for getting it, for actually understanding, so that you could be affected by the principle of guilt would affect something else, you. You want to be guilty, see, of understanding, so that you can get changed by it. And you would get it.
I'm wondering if it's because growing up, I just so totally rejected any of the things I heard about guilt and sin and all of those. I just went,
yep,
that isn't the truth.
Yep.
And
yep.
So I don't know.
I know. Believe me, Carol. I know. I know my words are just words. I hope you're curious. I think you are, because you said you asked, and I love that. It is a metaphysical, essential undoing of duality, one thing affecting another. That's gone, guilt's gone. Now, how can you have unity and still have one thing that affects another, where the cause and effect are separate? Do you see how fundamental this is? When we talk unity, it's like the knife as sharp as it can be. It can't cut itself, see? That's silly. Oh yeah, but I had a knife that cut itself. You did? How'd that work? So, I understand. But what I'm asking you to do is to open your mind to the idea of victim and victimizer being impossible. Can you think of a way where the victim and victimizer scenario, even though here in form we've got all of that going on, would not be true? It wouldn't be true that one thing existed that could affect another, and that something else, the else part's critical here. You'd have to really open your mind to find some way that there isn't a something else.
Well, it's like it's an illusion, but it doesn't really feel like an illusion. It doesn't feel like it, because as we go, like I can go, I learned a lot. The fences of guilt are down.
Yeah.
But they were up.
Yeah.
And even though now the fences are gone, they're gone.
Yes.
I still walk like those fences are still there.
Yes.
I know that somewhere the guilt is still affecting me, even though I act. It's now it's like invisible.
Yes.
So then the book has to make it visible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like,
show your
habits.
Oh
boy, like. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, and I'm extremely glad that I know that there's something beyond this.
I love that word.
Because when I was younger, I was afraid to death. If this existence goes, I'm gone.
Yes.
And then, like, have a crisis where my old self is gone. And I'm going to be gone, and I'm still standing. Miraculous. Thank you, God. I never expected that. There's an existence outside of it. But I know I operate on guilt principles without having guilt because I've recognized how I limit my freedom.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's something like, it's like, it's really intangible.
Yep, yep.
Like, I can make the words come, but they're not really true.
Yes.
So
yes.
The book does a little bit better object, like, can really look at it.
Doesn't it feel to me like the book is ahead of me? And this book knows me better than I know me. Okay, I'll turn another page.
So the victim and victimizer,
which is like what the ego also knows.
So yeah, really.
Right? We've learned this. We've learned that there's victim and victimizer.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have.
Okay. Well,
I believe that I have thoughts about that. But if I have thoughts about it, then I'm watching it, and that's not part of the victim or the victimizer. And that part says that's just a thought. It isn't me. Sometimes it feels like me, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. When I start watching it, then it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm relating to that because what you were saying, Andrew, in response to Carol, made me think that it's It's understanding that it's not about a feeling of guilt, because feeling is like the form. Mm-hmm. We want to look to the reason, but what you're describing is just taking the rug out of the whole thing, that separation can be possible.
Yep.
And so it's like, I think what you're describing is that whether or not we feel guilt or we're directly projecting it, is we're moving through this world as a witness to it all the time.
Uh-huh.
By the little ping of thoughts that might come and go, that this separation, that one can act on another.
Yep. It's so metaphysical. This is massive teaching, spiritual awakening. Oh my God. Like that. That you would invalidate, take a rug out from underneath it all, even the possibility. You realize that the middle of the workbook, right in the middle, it has this mantra: I am not a body. I am free. How is that even possible? Because I'm still as God created me. That's the burden of the book, changing your identity.
The focus of your identity.
Changing the awareness of your identity, as Julie was saying. She'd have to somehow be the, and you were saying, somehow be the observer of the victim and the victimizer and not be either one.
And not attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not attached.
It's witnessing in a different way. It's witnessing without the belief anymore.
Yes, at another level. Which is why this is a spiritual teaching. Because at the physical level, there is guilt, and it works great. And thank God, because it helps keep me in gravity, sitting in this pillow here. Yay, guilt, go guilt. It makes the world I understand.
It greases the wheels, right?
Yeah, it just makes everything work. I can hold everybody accountable, and I can be accountable, and fairness has a standard. And do the right thing, and I can live in that world. And I do, as Andrew. This is a spiritual journey where we're trying to awaken an identity that is not bound by victim and victimizer. So, you know, it's some heavy lifting. It requires some witnessing. It requires some shifting of perspective that is unattached to victimhood or the possibility of victimhood. It would be something like getting above the battleground and looking down
on the actors on the battleground who are very involved in what they're doing.
So what you're talking about, looking down at my ego's deepest, biggest secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the result will be like sustained thoughtlessness.
If you choose.
If you can get there.
You right now, you don't have the choice. No. But if you choose, because you return back to the dreamer of the dream rather than a character in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
As a character in the dream, you're going to have to play out the script.
You're immersed.
Immersed. Yeah. You got a role, identity as a character in the dream. What we're talking about is moving you back out to the dreamer of the dream, and that's Christ's vision, is witnessing through the illusions how they're all the same. That there's no order of difficulty in miracles, because everything on which you would apply a miracle is at the same level.
Stepping out of the body and looking back down.
Yep, yep, like that. All right, so I just wanted to drop that on you. And, you know, but now listen to some good news. I think that's good news, but I know it'd be kind of tough. I know it's tough, but let's just, as a meditation, let's just listen in to something from the Manual for Teachers.
How is peace possible in this?
Back to the book, page.
How is peace
you don't
possible
have to read it.
In this world.
Close your eyes if you want. All right, you want to follow along? Go to page 29 in the Manual for Teachers if you want to follow along. Page 29, we're going to read the whole section. It's only 4 minutes on the audio.
This is a question everyone must ask. Certainly, peace seems to be impossible here. Yet the Word of God promises other things that seem impossible as well as this. His Word has promised peace. It has also promised that there is no death, that resurrection must occur, and that rebirth is man's inheritance. The world you see cannot be the world God loves, and yet His Word assures us that He loves the world. God's Word has promised that peace is possible here, and what He promises can hardly be impossible. But it is true that the world must be looked at differently if His promises are to be accepted. What the world is but a fact. You cannot choose what this should be, but you can choose how you would see it. Indeed, you must choose this. Again, we come to the question of judgment. This time, ask yourself whether your judgment or the Word of God is more likely to be true. For they say different things about the world, and things so opposite that it is pointless to try to reconcile them. God offers the world salvation. Your judgment would condemn it. God says there's no death. Your judgment sees death as the inevitable end of life. God's Word assures you that He loves the world. Your judgment says it is unlovable. Who is right? For one of you is wrong. It must be so. The text explains that the Holy Spirit is the answer to all problems you have made. These problems are not real, but that is meaningless to those who believe in them. And everyone believes in what He made, for it was made by his believing it. Into this strange and paradoxical situation, one without meaning and devoid of sense, yet out of which no way seems possible, God has sent His judgment to answer yours. Gently, His judgment substitutes for yours. And through His substitution is the ununderstandable made understandable. How is peace possible in this world? In your judgment, it's not possible and can never be possible. But in the judgment of God, what is reflected here is only peace. Peace is impossible to those who look on war. Peace is inevitable to those who offer peace. How easily, then, is your judgment of the world escaped? It is not the world that makes peace seem impossible. It is the world you see that is impossible. Yet has God's judgment on this distorted world redeemed it and made it fit to welcome peace. And peace descends on it in joyous answer. Peace now belongs here because a thought of God has entered. What else but a thought of God turns hell to heaven merely by being what it is? The earth bows down before its gracious presence, and it leans down in answer to raise the earth up again. Now is the question different. It is no longer, can peace be possible in this world? But instead, is it not impossible that peace be absent here?
When you're ready, let's go to page 410 in the text and read some more good news about the unwinding of the binding. It's been so busy doing. We're going to be on paragraph 11.
Love's messengers are gently sent and return with messages of love and gentleness. Messengers of fear are harshly ordered to seek out guilt and cherish every scrap of evil and of sin that they can find, losing none of them on pain of death and laying them respectfully for their Lord and Master. Perception cannot obey two masters, each asking for me messages of different things in different languages. What fear would feed upon love overlooks. What fear demands love cannot even see. The fierce attraction that guilt holds for fear is wholly absent from love's gentle perception. What love would look upon is meaningless to fear and quite invisible.
It's like asking an alcoholic to just stop drinking, and then you won't be falling down. You'll be able to keep your job. People will start to trust you again. You can tell them and you love them without that big slur, and they might even believe it. That's what's like, let's just let go of fear and the attraction to guilt. Huh? But we are becoming sober. I think we, of Course in Miracles students, are becoming sober. Turn to text 548. Text 548. And let's look at some more good news of what it's like to release, take some of the rocks out. You know, it's a short enough section. We'll read this. Julie, when you're ready, where sin has left, paragraph 1.
588.
548, sorry, chapter 26.
I was busy writing.
Section 4.
Okay.
This is also talks about how do you take a rock out of your pack? I know it would be good not to have that extra weight.
You never know. The rocks, aren't they interconnected?
Yeah.
Don't they depend on each other in a way? And that's why it's hard to take it out of the pack?
Uh-huh. You might find yourself putting it right back in. Uh-huh. Or somebody else puts it back in for you. I don't know. You can't be without fear. You can't be without guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be without loneliness. You can't be without that rock right back in there.
That's what I'm talking about. They're interrelated. Yeah. You keep one rock, you're bound to keep the other related rock.
And the more you appreciate one of them, the other ones come right back to join it. Yeah.
But then you said we can't live in this world without guilt and foundation for cooperation, for all this other stuff. So
you can't live of this world as a separate being without guilt. That's correct. And if you lived in this world without guilt, you would no longer be of the world. And you would not be long for the world. As Course says, very few choose to be of service once they wake up and see the nature of the world. Some do. Very few continue to invest in a dream of nothing. But you may. I don't know if I jumped ahead on your question too far.
Well, you jumped ahead too far for me to understand, but it was okay. I guess I'm at a place that where I left off is, so if we have to have guilt in order to live in this world, then how can we throw guilt out of our backpack?
Yeah. Well, then you would have to no longer be of this world.
You can be in it, but not of it.
You can be in it, but not of it. It's like being involved in the movie or watching the movie. It's witnessing we talked about. You talked about witnessing versus being one of the victims or being the victimizer. The guilt goes both ways. One of them gives the guilt. The other one deserves the guilt.
So the habit for most of my life is to get in there with the wrench and the screwdriver and be working in the ego, in the world, trying to fix these problems that I perceive.
Yes.
I'm saying they're out there.
Yes.
And I'm in there with the screwdriver, in it, doing it.
Yes, yes.
Because that's really all I knew.
Yes.
And occasional light that says do it differently gets blotted out.
Yeah, you're in it and you're working of it on its own, on its terms. So you would be continually frustrated. Every time you took a rock out, you would take the rock back in and say, well, I'd rather have this rock than that rock. Let me take this out.
So, back. Right, so then amazing, more than a miracle, I don't know what you can call it, but the thought that there's a better way to do this. You perceive a problem, you're fixing it, and now you've been given some information that Stefan that says that there's a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
And it has very little, like, nothing to do with what you were doing.
Right. It's the opposite of what you were doing. The absolute opposite.
Mm-hmm. If I keep trying to get in there,
yes,
and
yes,
apply the old ego tools to the problem and
yes,
get in there,
yes,
I keep coming up with the same problem.
Yes.
And then the problem's me because I keep trying to do that.
Yes.
But the idea that there is a way, like there's an actual better, a whole better approach solution. And if you keep going wrong-minded, and if you keep doing all that stuff to fix it.
I'll just say that I can say the better
the
way.
The word peace is here.
I can just point out one way to say it. You've been doing, busy doing, to make better. Doing. This is an undoing. Mm-hmm. And you see what's left. A section that says, I need do nothing, is actually one of the busiest doing sections in the book, once you read it right. Because what you have to do is undo, let go, step back, get your ego out of the way, let go of the guilt and all of its cousins. Let your Holy Spirit step forward. It's an undoing. It's an I don't know. And it's a, wow, I don't think I want to know why this is like it is and how the world would punish or give guilt It may not be necessary. Can I just discover my true nature right now, even for a moment, and start from there?
You'd think it couldn't be done.
You'd think it couldn't be done. That's my point. You'd be nuts.
Stillness.
But stillness is very powerful and potent. It is an arrest of the ego.
So you can work within this world. You can serve this world through stillness.
Yes. You can.
So that means you have to involve your world, yourself in the world, but be still in that world. But I'm not sure how you talk to people that way.
It's like this. On a movie screen, with the most fantastic movement, let's say it's multiple airplanes weaving among each other. It's the tightest photography work ever done. Oh my God, you would throw up if you got seasick watching them slowly turn upside down as another plane goes right by its wheels, and then the third plane comes down to dice those two. Oh my goodness, what action is there in this film? You would get seasick, potentially. But the projector is still. From where all the images are coming, it's just a little hole in the wall. And then the device is about still.
So how do you, as a stillness...
Yes?
See, what I want to do, mm-hmm. and basically is I want to find myself as a child of God, mm-hmm. and operate only through love. Mm-hmm. What it sounds to me like you're saying is be an example. But I don't know how to be other than more than an example.
That might be too advanced to be an example. I mean, that's what Jesus was trying to do, and it was rough going there.
It
didn't end
question.
Nicely. What
a beautiful question you asked. It's a beautiful question.
Yes.
And like, occasionally, when I don't know how to, communicate to somebody like this, sometimes I can remember there's only being loving, or sometimes asking for love.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this person's unengaging.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And in case I could go,
yeah.
What would Holy Spirit say?
Yeah.
Or I could just back off for a little bit. I get a little bit of a thought.
Yeah.
And then it just comes out.
Yeah.
And it, like, the person's happy to hear it. Somehow it gets solved. I didn't think there was any solution here. And I'm like, well, it worked. It worked. And that's how to do it, by not even approaching it like, someone's asking something of me. I want to deliver. What can I say? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's active. That's active.
And then it's like, and then it just, that becomes the answer. And it says it over and over again. You don't have to know, Stephanie.
Yes.
Are you willing, just one time, are you willing to just let go? Just a little bit.
Yeah. And trust. Julie, teach. Go.
No, go.
Active. You got the active word. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, I relate to what you're saying, and actually I've been in like a spiritual dry spell for lately, but like when I look back over the last like 4 years, 3 years, I don't even know what I'm at. It's you can't have this answer right now for like the rest of life, like, oh, that's what it means. It's literally like you just start the journey, like you do lesson one and then you do lesson two, or you read something and somehow it transforms you. Somehow it just, what Stefan's had, like, saying, because it's an undoing. It's you let go in that moment. If you're thinking, how am I going to be a loving person? That is ego. Like, if you actually just start going still when you perceive a problem, words will still come out. But it's not like, you don't have to have the perfect answer. Does that? I don't know. I can't explain it, but like, all I know is I look at my journey and I saw that after 3 years, I suddenly was just a more confident person because
all the stuff that I used to worry about, just like, it just, it's, I can see through it more. And, but I didn't understand or grasp any of that or think that that would be what I would be 3 years later. So I just had to take
and,
a breath.
And you had a big addiction to doing the right thing, knowing something, and what A Course in Miracles, it'd be active and do the right thing. A Course in Miracles hopefully got some trust going on in your mind where you could actually step, lesson 155, step back and let him lead the way. Because I don't like the way my ego does things.
Yeah, that's the part that I get, that I absolutely believe. I don't like the way my ego does things.
Good! Fire it!
Well, for, yeah. Well, or but, if I'm conscious, I stop it.
Uh-huh. Yes. You're very good. At least go a little quieter, go a little stiller, show up, ask the Holy Spirit, hey, Holy Spirit, you're up. Listen to this. I'll play another audio for you since we had such a short one in the beginning. Listen to this.
Jazz and Irish accent, though, it's very strange.
Oh, yeah? Who is that guy?
I don't know.
God.
Waiting for device to connect.
I decided to be in relationship with the totality of my true self. Mind, spirit, soul, emotion, body. With the same sense of awe and mystery that I felt when I looked upon the farthest of the stars, deep in the night, on a quiet hillside. And that changed everything. I gave up my self-definitions. I did not see myself as a carpenter's son. I did not see myself as a Jew. I no longer saw myself as a student of the Essenes. I came to see my true self as the mysterious extension of something beyond my comprehension. I saw my true self as a sunbeam to the sun. I saw my true self as the very mystery of God's presence being unfolded in the realm of manifestation. I saw that all that I thought, even down to the body, was temporary. I saw that whatever it was that was burdening me was eternal, an ongoing foreverness. And that if I could just rest in that, if I could abide with that, if I could return to that, even prior to every breath, that I could tap into the very power of creation itself. And get out of the way, and get out of the way, and get out of the way, and keep diving deeper into mystery upon mystery upon mystery. I never let my mind rest from that day. I never once decided I was done. I never defended a single perception that I held about anyone or anything. And by using time wisely, I cultivated over time the willingness and the ability to seek first the kingdom, even to the point where I was doing it prior to every word spoken, every gesture made with the body. Like this. Father, I rest in you. What would you live through me in this moment? Let me witness it. Let me feel it. Let me taste it. Take me ever deeper into your mystery. I want all of you. And if I might make a confession, that has never ended. I am still saying, Father, I want all of you. The way of transformation is the willingness to use time differently. There must come a point in the journey of each individual in which the head bows and the thought emerges, I want only God. and I no longer care what it takes, what is required. I submit to the mysterious force that is life, asking only that I be transformed into the perfect field of awareness through which love flows without obstruction. What you will discover in the end is that the only obstruction is fear and some expression of it. Each time you begin to set aside fear and choose to bless the world from the perfect holiness of your union with God, each time you dare to be so arrogant in the eyes of the world as to be the presence of Christ, each time you relax the mind and the body and recognize, of myself, I do nothing. Something is living me, and it is to that which I surrender. May you cultivate a way of being in the world that is not here. That is, it is not within the perceptual mode that makes up the world. You will be different. You will look the same, but you will not be the you that the world has known. You will speak as you have always spoken. You will know your social security number. However, there will be a definite sense that you live, yet not you, but that one is living you. Somehow, inextricably, unexplainably, you are being allowed to be the field of awareness that gets to witness life living as you. And you will know that it is sacred. You will know that it is beautiful. You will know that right now, wherever you are in this moment, you are the embodiment and the expression of mystery. Love forever extending itself. You are the very joy of God. And you will continue to be so throughout all of existence. There will never be a time when you cease to be. But by choosing to surrender defense of the perceptions you have come to identify as you, by choosing to release the grip on the fears you believe are justified and the judgments that you believe are true, as you surrender your grip on the world you have made, creation will flow through you. And the thought emerges, of myself, I do nothing. I merely witness the flow of love through me. I use time wisely to cultivate perfect remembrance of the real world. Time and space do not imprison me. The body is not me. I use it as a tool to fashion and shape that which in this world can extend love into any moment. You abide nowhere but in the infinitude of God's presence. Mastery comes when finally you choose to release all attachment to fear. And in perfect surrender, you release the dream of the dreamer itself and allow the mystery of life to live you without obstruction, without fear, in perfect knowledge that I and my Father are one. There is nothing I have to do to get God. There are only some things to be released so that God can get me.
What was that? What pages were those?
That's from the other book you own, called The Way of Mastery. I think this is Jesus' personal awakening story. Wow, that is so personal. I love it. It is so Course in Miracles all the way through. The Way of Mastery. If anybody's looking for some support work to do around Course in Miracles, I recommend that book. It's a little pricey, a little hard to get your hands on.
It's worth it. You know, when I compare the cost of that with anything else,
yeah.
what better use of money is the book like that?
Yeah, or the CDs are even better.
Yeah. Depends on how you learn, you bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful book. But it's right to the idea that you can be passive and let the truth live you with whatever it wants to do, rather than you being active with all the things you already know. Ego. Heard another description I like. What is the ego? The ego is the impulse to repeat.
Which is the definition of repetitive.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know, this guilt thing's really gnarly to me. And part of it was so I've been doing the lessons, right? And part of me wants to go faster, and that thought of just do one a day. Yeah. And so I'm like, I can't really remember which one I was on, and I want to peek ahead. I hear the people, and so that just lately, literally two lessons ago, I kind of went ahead and I read it, and it was the one that said basically sin is the foundation of guilt. And I was like, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't take it. I went, I was like, whoa. Just that one, looked ahead and I went, I can't take it. I have to go back. I'm kind of sorry I did that. Because I could see where it was overwhelming. Like the one, it overwhelmed me. It's like, I wasn't prepared to hear that right then. And it was too much for me on some level.
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
So it was like fascinating that hit me that way.
Yes.
Like an electric fence.
Yeah. But it's amazing like how it works though, because remember like the old Egyptian thing where they weigh your soul,
yeah,
and if your soul weighs more than a feather, you won't go up, you go down. The big alligator god eats you. And there's a fear there, right? The idea that I have to be so pure and have no guilt, because any just a tiny pinhead of guilt would kill me. I'd be eaten. Don't even get near it, right? Don't even like wrong line, weighing your soul, wrong line.
Yeah. You know, it's more like this. It's like you're learning to fly a jet airplane, and you are what you're doing with Course in Miracles is a really big move, and you're learning to fly a jet airplane at 500 miles per hour with touchy controls, but you've got it, and you've decided to do it. You got a guide, and Course in Miracles is your guide on how to do this. How to go beyond the body. And you're skipping a few pages of the instruction manual before you jump in the cockpit. Like, whoa! Maybe I shouldn't have done that, because what if I need, at about 10,000 feet, you need to adjust the aileron. What's an aileron?
That was the lesson I skipped.
That's the lesson I skipped. You're going to use too much fuel now. You can't maintain 10,000 feet. You can't even land it under power, because you're going to use up all this fuel.
No, I really need a miracle.
Right? Is this okay? What I love about it is I felt your love and respect for the material, and I loved hearing you describe that. And I have it too. It means you can be reached. It means your Holy Spirit says, Stefan, don't miss it. Get it all. Fly and depart the runway with ease, knowing exactly what you're doing by choice, not by fear, not by racing, not by if I don't fly, I'm going to die. None of that at all. Christ's vision is freedom.
And the recording you just did said we have all the time in the world to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be going on forever anyway, so just take your time.
Hey, you want more? You want some more? Do you want 1,000 more years? Book says, sure, you could save you 1,000 years. Okay, let's keep reading this section. It's really wonderful.
Before we go there, my memory went for a second.
Yes.
Is it the gift of mastery or the path?
Sure. The way of mastery.
The way, not the... Yes.
Hi, Carol.
You should have it on Amazon. Right. Amazon books. Okay.
Good. Good. Good.
I think I saw it there.
548? No. Okay, sorry, I thought.
I hope she comes back. Okay, all right. Yes, 548.
Paragraph.
Where sin has left.
Okay. Forgiveness is the world's equivalent of heaven's justice.
Yo, baby. Keep reading.
It translates the world of sin into a simple world
where justice can be reflected from beyond the gate, behind which total lack of limits lies. Nothing in boundless love could need forgiveness. And what is charity within the world gives way to simple justice past the gates that open into heaven. No one forgives unless he has believed in sin and still believes that he has much to be forgiven. Forgiveness thus becomes the means by which he learns he has done nothing to forgive. Forgiveness always rests upon the one who offers it until he sees himself as needing it no more. And thus is he returned to his real function of creating, which his forgiveness offers him again.
Mm-hmm. That's how we take the rock out of the pack. Release this forgiveness, this effort of A Course in Miracles. It's a good one. Well,
forgiveness turns the world of sin into a world of glory. Wonderful to see. Each flower shines in light, and every bird sings of the joy of heaven. There is no sadness and there is no parting here, for everything is totally forgiven. And what has been forgiven must join, for nothing stands between to keep them separate and apart. The sinless must perceive that they are one, for nothing stands between to push the other off. And in the space that sin left vacant do they join as one, in gladness recognizing what is part of them has not been kept apart and separate.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Rocket.
The holy place on which you stand is but the space that sin has left.
In the world but not of it, somehow free, right here now. It's awareness arising, the enlightenment arising. Not just the experience, but the awakening. Please start again.
The holy place on which you stand is but the space that sin has left. And here you see the face of Christ arising in its place. Who could behold the face of Christ and not recall his Father as he really is? Who could fear, love, and stand upon the ground where sin has left a place for heaven's altar to rise and tower far above the world and reach beyond the universe to touch the heart of all creation?
What? Say that again? How far does this go? What are we talking about? Reread that sentence.
Who could fear, love, and stand upon the ground where sin has left a place for heaven's altar to rise and tower far above the world and reach beyond the universe to touch the heart of all creation? What is heaven but a song of gratitude and love and praise by everything created to the source of its creation? The holiest of altars is set where once sin was believed to be. And here does every light of heaven come to be rekindled and increased in joy. For here is what was lost restored to them, and all their radiance made whole again.
Beautiful, huh?
You've often said that sin and separation can be substituted.
Yes.
I think that's making a little bit more sense with what you said tonight about something acting on something else, because we talk about sin as an unforgivable mistake or whatever, right? But how that relates to separation would be that for sin to be believed, something would have to act on something else.
Yes.
So that's why they're interchangeable? Is that why they're interchangeable?
Yes. The foreverness of that, for separation to be really separate, that there is a unmendable separation, a real division forever. Mm-hmm. But what if that division were to be ended somehow with Christ's vision? The ugliest, darkest place is now where the deepest explosion of love would be witnessed.
The ancient hate.
Yes. I love how this book does not leave anything behind. It says, with your, let's call the Holy Spirit,
guidance and some little willingness from you to step back. The light in you will shine, and you will learn to shine it on what was dark, just so you can experience the light, the power of the light, and watch the world disappear from being something of hate. Something else. Something harmed. In any way. The impossibility of harm, you will witness. The impossibility of dark, you will witness. With your own light. Meaning you recognize yourself as the source of the light that shines away the burden you once felt, the darkness you once saw. Yeah.
I had an experience today that I would like you to tell me if it has anything to do with what you're saying. So I was with a client, and she has done yoga. She's the most gentle creature I've ever met. She prays every day. She hates hurting anything and anybody. When I say hates, I don't mean hates. I mean she just refuses. And she was telling me about this beautiful Buddha that she had bought and a silver angel, and how every time she walked into her bedroom, she felt like the Buddha was blessing her. And it got stolen by the girlfriend of her son. I got so angry for her that I was telling her she needed to go out there and fight like hell. And in the middle of getting that anger, I thought, oh my God, this is not who she is. She's not a person who can respond in any positive way to any of these words. And all I'm doing is, because I'm hurt for her, it's not about her at all. So I backed off and I said, I am so sorry I went there. Because I know this is not you. Mm-hmm. Now, does that have anything to do with what we're doing?
It's a good catch. It has a lot to do with your personal awakening. And that you would now recognize that she came to your presence as your teacher.
Yeah.
You're the student. Beautiful. Yes!
Okay.
Healing has occurred.
Makes me want to cry.
The only place where it matters is right there. Good. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. You ready for our next paragraph?
Imagine the karma on it, though. Stealing a Buddha. What?
Oh, you know, you can flip these things around so easily.
Well, the Buddha would laugh at that.
He would be laughing. Share me. What? You're hogging me.
Well, that's eventually what she came to. Yeah. On her own, she came
Good.
To. Someone's going to be enjoying me.
Probably could use it.
Yeah. But the Buddha's going to be looking at her.
I don't think she's the one that's going to keep it, but the Buddha took it.
Yeah.
If it's who she thinks it is.
And, yeah.
But what came to me to say was, I thought this was a lot more in line with what she is and how I see her is. That Buddha is still going to bless you every time you walk into your bedroom.
Maybe even outside the bedroom now. Since it's no longer there. Yeah. Yeah. Bring it. Let's try it. Let's see if the Buddha nature is now in her.
Well, I think it's been in her a lot longer than it's been in me.
Yeah. Can you drop the crutch and walk?
I hope so.
Good. Good.
We'll ask for that now.
Good. Okay, let's read number 4.
Forgiveness brings no little miracles to lay before the gate of heaven. Here the Son of God himself comes to receive each gift that brings him nearer to his home. Not one is lost, and none is cherished more than any other. Each reminds him of his Father's love as surely as the rest, and each one teaches him that what he feared, he loves the most. What but a miracle?
Will you, can you please read that sentence again?
And each one teaches him that what he feared, he loves the most.
Whoa! Can you take that into meditation? Can you unpack that sentence? Can you ask Jesus, is this for me? That will I be also learning that what I feared, I love the most? What the
heck? Yeah, I love it. It's a reversal of thinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need to meditate on tonight.
Wouldn't you? You might need a guide to work you through it. I'll substitute the best I can if you still need one, and then this book will finish the job if you say what he said. She says, you gotta love this reversal. Love it. I love the way this pries off my ego. Pries it off using the word hate. And love in the same sentence. Did you see that? Well, what is a miracle if it doesn't do that job? And what a gift if it does the job of reversing what I hated and showing me this is what I love the most. I just wanted to point that sentence out because we won't be studying this paragraph much tonight.
But these are big keys, right? To me, these are really like deep. They're big. They're like, they're kind of big. They're almost missed. That what brings it up to me is that desire to have something, and then I found out that I couldn't have it, and then the blocks go up, and then I have to deny that it's even there and have fear against it, and not because something happened, I think. And this is like my little story, the memories of, well, I remember becoming hard when I couldn't have something I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I put the blocks up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it becomes bad over time because
that's
hurting me.
That's an attraction to guilt. And you just followed it like the smell of cotton candy.
What a trip.
What a trip.
So right there, like it says like this, right? This the book, every problem I perceive, the flip side is a solution. Yeah. Right? You want the solution, you want the miracle.
Yes.
I think some are bigger and some are smaller, but that's not really how it is.
It appears that way.
But right behind there, right? It's like very amazing.
Custom made. Right behind that.
Standing
the sticker.
Standing in shining silence.
Standing in shining silence.
Right beside what you see as a problem.
The thing that you tripped over.
I'm hanging on to something because I learned to hang on to this.
That's where the miracle
control,
is.
Control, yes. The past and the present. Yes. I'm hanging on to this because I think something happened where I need this to control. Because I'm not good enough without it. To me, that's the guilt. To me, that's like, I can't just freely.
You are attracted to guilt.
Because I decided at some point I'm not good enough.
Through the attraction of guilt, you've decided you're not good enough.
And now I'm learning, like, this doesn't have to, it's not like this.
Yeah.
It becomes like a game. It becomes, you can start to, like, hopefully laugh at myself. Because at some point I realize, oh, what an actor. That's really fucking trippy. That's, like, really, like, wow. I'm pretty stupid at this point. But it's okay, Stefan.
Uh-huh.
Like, take a breath.
Uh-huh.
This is, it's like.
Just a character in the play.
And then now I'm kind of, I'm a little bit scared now, too, because I'm learning.
Mm. Yes.
Like, what's most fearful? Right? What's most. And like, then things are coming to me now. I see a book and it says, the obstacle is the way. I'm like, oh, it's starting to happen. I'm being, like, funneled down for my own good towards this door I never opened because that's taboo. I didn't even know there was a door there for a while. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's reenacting all these old ego trips a little bit.
Sure. Never underestimate the ego. Especially with its impulses to repeat things. And just go right back into the past and try to find some reinforcing the things that it knows. Rehearsing them, building them. Yeah. Never underestimate its ability to take.
And then going in that rabbit hole, like it's like, don't go in the rabbit hole. Don't go in there, Stephanie.
Try getting present.
Thank you.
Taking a breath in the present moment. Yeah. Good. Okay, Luann. Please reread that sentence and keep going. In each miracle, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and each one teaches him that what he feared, he loves the most. What but a miracle? You want me to say that again? What but a miracle could change his mind so that he understands that love cannot be feared? What other miracle is there but this? And what else need there be to make the space between you disappear?
Gotta love that!
The space between...
Love cannot be feared, too, but it's what Stefan just said, as we do.
Yeah. Woo! Brother John.
Where sin once was perceived, will rise a world that will become an altar to the truth, and you will join the lights of heaven there and sing their song of gratitude and praise. And as they come to you to be complete, so will you go with them. For no one hears the song of heaven and remains without a voice that adds its power to the song and makes it sweeter still. And each one joins the singing at the altar that was raised within the tiny spot that sin proclaimed to be its own. And what was tiny then has soared into a magnitude of song in which the universe has joined with but a single voice.
Where did this happen? Where did this wonderful moment of joining occur? It was right there. I just don't want you to miss it. Where did this happen?
Sin was once perceived.
Ding.
And each one joins the singing at the altar that was raised within the tiny spot that sin proclaimed to be its own. That's where the joining happened. At the point where separation would otherwise be proven. The miracle indeed stands in shining silence right behind your thought of sin, fear, and guilt. That's where it's to be found. Lucky you. That's the good news. It is a journey without distance for that reason. Your enlightenment, your freedom, your peace. It's a journey without distance because the miracle's right there at the place where you're looking for a journey. That's where the door is. Yes.
But it's so far away.
Yeah.
So far away.
Why did you say that? I don't understand that.
Because it is. It's well, when Andrew says a journey without distance,
yeah.
You know, it's like a thought away. But
it's beyond.
It's so far. That thought is...
Yeah. It's beyond. It's a whole different perspective from a whole different identity. But it's right there. It's right there. We're one thought away.
It is right there.
Or a lifetime.
Yeah. Or
you identify with a greater identity, the closer it seems to be.
If you want to go around the earth... You know, if you want to get back to where you are, you know, one way is to go all the way around the earth. The other way is just to observe where you are. To re-arrive at where you are, you could leave where you are and journey and journey and see everything else. And you'll come back to recognize where you were only by the fact that it's nothing like everything else you've seen. Oh, this is absolutely my home. Or somehow, if you could just see where you are and say, this is my home, without the big journey.
I've been singing these Paul Simon lyrics. The nearer your destination,
the more you keep slip-sliding away.
Yeah.
That's great.
For days.
Yes, beautiful.
Decades.
Beautiful, yes. Because you have only one home that's true. And an unlimited fantasies about everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your destination, the more you're slip-sliding away.
I was just thinking of the Sting song when I read that. And I was trying to, like, it's like, it's really like, see the space, fill it up, see the space between us?
Yeah.
Fill it up, right? And he goes, fill it up, fill it up. I like a lot of Sting stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah.
But, like, that is like, and it, like, it's coming in like the movies, you know, it's the thinnest membrane that separates us. It's a, you know, it's elusive. We're really one, and yet we have this whole game.
Yeah, there's some other rock and roll song. I don't remember the title, but I heard somebody mention it, and it is Many Lamps, One Light. Paragraph 6, the tiny spot of sin that stands between you and your brother still is holding back the happy opening of heaven's gate. How little is the hindrance that withholds the wealth of heaven from you. And how great will be the joy in heaven when you join the mighty chorus to the love of God. Yeah, baby. Okay, so that
I've
should
read this book three times and I don't remember this section.
Isn't that crazy, Julie? No. Like, how could you miss that one? Why isn't it the only one you remember?
Gotta open your mind, I guess.
So Paul Simon said he wasn't gonna tour anymore, this is his last.
I don't know.
That's what he said. Cool story.
Okay, let's touch on another beautiful paragraph before we go back to tonight's paragraph. Just one paragraph. Jump to page 280 in the text. And this is your function in the atonement. What is the cost of love? Remember last week? I think it was last week.
Yeah.
We did the cost of love last week. Yeah. David, would you read for us paragraph 7? Let's look at some of the fine print. Fine print, of course, the miracles.
Unless you are guiltless, you cannot know God, whose will is that you know him. Therefore, you must be guiltless.
Paradox.
Yes, paradox.
Yeah, gets 22, huh?
Yep.
Yet, if you do not accept the necessary conditions for knowing him, you have denied him and do not recognize him, though he is still all around you.
All around you.
He cannot be known without his Son, whose guiltlessness is the condition for knowing him. Accepting his Son as guilty is denial of the Father so complete that knowledge is swept away from recognition in the very mind where God himself has placed it. If you would but listen and learn how impossible this is, do not endow him with attributes you understand. You made him not. Anything you understand is not of him.
Do you see why it's so important to get a handle on what guilt is, what Course in Miracles really means by guilt? To decode a paragraph like this, boy, it sounds good. But you see the way it's using guilt so certainly. I mean, it's fundamental to what it means to be separate and not know God. That's how you do it, is you got guilt running, and it's true. Yeah.
Every once in a while, but especially tonight, I know that I'm driving the nails into his hands because I don't want to hear that message. You know, and not just that
yeah.
I'm there, but I'm doing it over and over and over.
Yes, yes. And you know what he says? He says, well, I love you so much, Walt. I love you. Go ahead. Watch this! Go ahead, do it. Do what you gotta do. Oh, they know not what they do.
unless I can give you the gift of you're not a body. I'll show you not a body. My presence will be felt stronger still.
But it's a presence that I just cannot...
Yes. It's taking that step to cross the river we talked about a few weeks ago.
It's about me. I don't want to look at myself.
Yeah.
And I know that he is telling me who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. He wants to live through you. It's yours only life. This is how God is known. Is you live. But really live, not in this body. Circling in a dark closet. Not how God is known. He wants to live through you. This is, that's what his life is. That's what his joy is. He wants joy. In fact, he decided to design it that way. That you would know what you are. It's all in this paragraph. You know, and 100 of the other ones, but some of these paragraphs are like, you get, I love that driving the nail. You've got it, buddy. That's nice. Oh, fantastic.
When I recognized, when I woke up and recognized what I was saying, that woman,
yes.
I thought, I have to say I'm sorry. That's, I didn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to mean that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea how to take a step back and do it over.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to let go of thinking I could do it. And when I let go of thinking I could do it, she responded positively. And I think that relates to what Walt is saying, is sometimes you do things in life and you know that that wasn't the thing to do. And when, as soon as you know that, you also know, well, what could, should, what would have been God working for me.
Yeah.
And God all starts working for you right that instant.
Yes, especially if you decide to step back and give up the ego pretenses of trying to somehow patch it up. Maybe just let the whole thing break open right then and there.
Yeah.
And say, this is not right, like you did. You know what? This is not right. And it's for you. You're picking it up for the last time, hopefully, and looking at it. So you look at it so that you know what it is you're going to let go of and stop doing.
That's why I'm going to meditate on that tonight.
Yes. And then it can be replaced with truth. And you will see how beautiful that now becomes your beautiful shining spot that was so dark.
Is it transformed that way?
It would transform your darkness in a grip of something outside of you. A bad pattern of thought would be transformed now for your transcending it and saying, oh, fight and article and specialness of a Buddha. Maybe better to release it. Maybe even better to release and discover freedom from all objects, but especially the thing in the middle of your altar. That's why I really don't. That's why I've never got it. The altar that's the Eastern religions have you set up a thing and you got your guru and everything like that. You know, and I understand. I spent some time with somebody who really did it, and I it's really cool actually, but not for me. But there's this big focus and a special way to sit and a place to sit, and it's the same place and it's got a thing and a focus and you got the candles going and. There is a purpose for that, and I really appreciate it. But it can also be a battery that without you would have no light, no energy. No, man, it's in you, not over there. It's all in you.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a chance for her to stand up and say, I'm still free. No Buddha, but I still feel good.
He's trying to tell me that.
You know it's true. Okay, real quick, hit paragraph page 410. And let's go over paragraph 11 one more time before we move on. You got just enough minutes.
barely to go through it, but we've been discussing it all night. But listen to how it comes alive. Love's messengers are gently sent and return with messages of love and gentleness. The messengers of fear are harshly ordered to seek out guilt and cherish every scrap of evil and of sin that they can find, losing none of them on pain of death, and laying them respectfully before their Lord and Master. Perception cannot obey two masters, each asking for messages of different things in different languages. What fear would feed upon, love overlooks. What fear demands, love cannot even see. The fierce attraction that guilt holds for fear is wholly absent from love's gentle perception. What love would look upon is meaningless to fear. Oh, and quite invisible. I love that. Okay, so I think it's pretty clear. We're talking about the source of your perception. Love and fear, either one, can send out its messengers, and they're going to come back with what they've been sought to hunt. They will bring back what they've been told to hunt of all the possible things. We're going turkey hunting or bringing back turkeys. Love's messengers are gently sent and return with messages of love and gentleness. The messengers of fear are harshly ordered to seek out what? Seek out guilt.
Every bit of sin.
Yep. Seek out every bit of sin. Find it. Seek out the guilt. And this is fierce messengers. How is it you're so afraid? It's because this is wrong. This is bad. How is it bad? Is it something you did or something he did? Or something God did? Let's assign some guilt somewhere.
And we won't even let go of it if somebody dies or if we die. So you're not losing none on pain of death. So holding that grudge even more. Yeah.
Oh.
This whole section rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where Luann says, you know, they've been sent out to go find something, and by God, they will.
On pain of death.
On pain of death, you will come back, or you will. Yes, yes. Woo! Seek out guilt and cherish every scrap of evil and sin that they can find, losing none of them, on pain of death, and laying them respectfully before their Lord and Master. Bring them back and lay them down before the fear or the ego. Say, you do exist and you're busy fixing and you're getting closer because you found a reason for your fear. The ego says, lucky you. Well, the spirit says, not so lucky. The last thing you want is a reason to be afraid. That's why I caution you never to use why. Do not go into your self-psychotherapy looking for why did this happen to me.
You know, I say that every time a client says, why did this happen? I say, forget the question why.
Good.
You can say how, you can say what, but don't say why.
Had to go.
Because as soon as you do that, you're back in your head again.
Good. Excellent. Good, good.
I hate that question. I hate
good, you should hate it. Good, good.
I should hate, right?
Yeah, you should hate that. Perception cannot obey two masters, each asking for messages of different things in different languages. See, what fear would feed upon, love overlooks. What fear demands, love cannot even see. The fierce attraction that guilt holds for fear is wholly absent from love's gentle perception. Well, what love would look upon is meaningless to fear and quite invisible. Let's have a circle.
What would love look upon?
Yeah.
What would love look upon? So it's a matter of sending out messengers now, isn't it? You see, what you think is going to be followed up.
Yep.
The thoughts that you have are actually prayers, and they will be answered. And the prayers of the ego, they're answered. You know what I'm talking about. And the prayers to love are answered. You know what I'm talking about. Love calls to love. Fear calls to fear. Sending out messengers to come back with what they were sent to find. That's how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
So, step back. Let him put some sanity in your life. You choose love with that part of your mind that would step back and be still. Right when chaos is calling, say, oh, bring it on, because here's my miracle. If you ask the Holy Spirit, go still. Let the Holy Spirit surface what's behind this little thing you just tripped over. And you shall have an awakening opportunity of your existence. Thank you, amen. Thanks, everybody.